We're now going from sports to religion, as promised.
Morning, Sean.
Paddy O'Corman is here.
Yes.
Wonderful sports people were preparing for the match in Croke Park, you took yourself off to yesterday?
I went off yesterday to a Latin mass. Sean, that was recorded in Knock there 2 years ago. But I went to a Latin Mass yesterday. It was when I was in Loch Derg last week. Lots of people told me I should go to the Latin Mass, that I'd find it very interesting. And I certainly did. The Mass I went to was in Dublin at St. Kevin's Church in Harrington Street, which is next to Sing Street Christian Brothers School. There's a daily Latin Mass there. And on a Sunday morning, 10:30 yesterday, I went. And there was about 350 people there. It was full compared to, I counted 52 at the midday Mass. Afterwards, of course, the midday Mass would be simply the local parishioners. And mixed age group, there was elderly people, there was young families, almost everybody Irish, which surprised me.
And Paddy, this an Orthodox if you like, Catholic Mass approved by the Dublin Diocese? It's not some sort of an offshoot?
No, this is approved.
Tridentine or anything like that, is it?
Well, I'm not sure if the word Tridentine works for it, but yesterday the chief celebrant, he started off by paying tribute to Pope Benedict, who 7 years ago yesterday issued his Summorum Pontificum, which gave extra endorsement to the use of the Latin Mass by priests who wanted to do it. And it was according to a 1962 missal. There was no mention at all of Pope Francis, by the way, during the whole Mass. But Pope Benedict...
this sounds fairly official anyway.
Oh, it is. It is. Yeah, it came from Pope Benedict. And Sean, for people such as you and I who were old enough to remember Mass in the 1960s, it's terribly familiar. It's in Latin, obviously. Communion is by the tongue. And on your knees. The priest said that at the beginning to warn people again, there's no into the hand communion. The fact that it's a Sunday and not a Saturday evening, I think, is significant. There's no sign of peace or anything like that, no shaking of the hands and, you know, peace be with you, all of it. So it was very, very much like going back in time. One guy, actually a man I know from my local pub, he comes down and he says, the reason I come here, Paddy, is because it brings me back to my childhood and I love it. The sermon was fascinating, but maybe before I go on to that, well, I just tell you about afterwards when I stood outside and met the people coming out. It's always hard to vox a pop a mass going crowd because, of course, they're leaving very quickly. But some of the people stood there and told me, well, they spoke to me about why they like to come to the Latin Mass.
The only thing I'll say to you is, when is RTE going to leave our church alone? They just seem to bash our church all the time. Why don't they start in some other church?
I'm sorry if it seems that way.
Well, it does seem that way.
Would you tell me why you like the Latin Mass? Do you mind if I ask you that?
Well, I've been going to it all my life, and so that's the main thing.
And we love the Latin Mass. We love it. We love it. It's the one true Mass. You know, the new Mass isn't very good. And receiving communion in the hand and all that, which shouldn't be, you know. With the new Mass, all these Eucharistic ministers and things, you know, that nobody should be up on the altar except the priest. And all this shaking hands, that's ridiculous as well, you know. So even the Vatican now is coming out and saying about, you know, that they're all hugging and kissing each other.
You nearly forget that you're at Mass.
Yeah. And it spreads germs as well, too.
Do you know what happened to me one day? Yeah. This fella turned around and he threw his arms around me and kissed me. And, I was disgusted. Yeah, I just said, well...
I find it very hard to attend the ordinary Mass now, mm-hmm. because priests are leaving out a word of the Mass, especially in the Nicene Creed, which they should not.
Right. The leaving up words of the Nicene Creed.
Yes. At least one word, men, is the word they're leaving out, so I put it in.
Men, the word men is left
for us men and for our salvation.
They've made us more feminine now, you know, and there's too many women up on the altar.
Well, I told a priest one time, I said, look, do you know, you looked very lazy up there today, just sitting down doing nothing. I said, you started off the Mass. The next thing I said, the women went up, they did the readings. And then I said, you sat back again. And I said, they were giving out communion for you. So I said, you'd nothing to do at all. They're taking it over. And yet they say, no women priests. And yet the women are up walking around the altar. And dancing and so on.
Would you support
ridiculous.
Having women priests?
Oh, definitely not.
No,
definitely not.
I'm not going to a woman for confession. Would you like it?
I don't No, actually, yes.
Yeah, yeah. You'd like to hear me to hear your confession now, would you?
Well, they were good humourists anyway. And,
absolutely, Paddy. But people with fairly strong views.
Very strong views. There was another elderly man there from Newbridge, and I said to him, look, it was clearly a counter-reformation, and those words did come up in the sermon. And he says, well, the one true church, why should we be ecumenical with a church, with other churches, when if you're the one true church? So very, very clear. But the sermon, even though the Mass was very familiar from 50 years ago, the sermon was actually quite startling when the priest stood up and he says, and I've took notes exactly. My old friend Ian has gone before the judgment of God. And it was actually lost on me what he was talking about. First of all, who was his old friend Ian? Was it a priest? Was it? And then he went on, my old friend Ian, he went to Rome once in his career to find out more evidence of the irredeemable corruption of the Catholic Church. And then the penny dropped with me who his old friend Ian was. He was talking, ironically, he's talking about Ian Paisley. Now, he was a northerner, the priest, I'd say probably Donegal by his accent. And he says, Ian claimed to have found a crucifix with the image of the Mother of God crucified rather than Jesus. And doesn't that prove that the papists worship the Virgin Mary? But the priest went on to say, well, if only Ian had looked up John 26, verse 19, he would have been scandalised too, because then he could have come to realise that all Christians are on the cross with Jesus. Per ipsum et commipso et in ipso. I can't remember if I got my case endings right now from Latin. Through him, with him and in him. And he went on to say, every Christian is nailed to the cross, and it's here that the Reformation set up the foundation error of Protestantism. At the beginning of the Reformation, Luther and Calvin and Zwingli and company proclaimed man was so hopelessly corrupt, grace can't change him, and the best that could be hoped for was that the Lord could cover over the cracks of the wretchedness of man, to cover over the wretchedness of man. And he says, many Protestant sects subsequently backed away from this, but it remains buried deep in the psyche. Are you saved, sir? Now, I have heard that in the north of Ireland, and presumably this priest is an Ulster man. This means, are you a Protestant? And but in reality, said the priest, every Christian who is true to the faith is with Christ in the cross, with Christ in the garden.
And was there any, did he call for prayers for Dr. Paisley, the repose of his soul or anything
well,
like that?
Well, not exactly. He said, he went there, he talked then about an ancient hymn, Hail, O Cross, Our Only Hope, in thanksgiving for Mary's perfect union with her son in all his suffering. And he says, did I say all his suffering? The suffering of all her children that Mary kept in her mind and in her heart standing at the cross. And that is why Ian, too, will be suffering that peace, perhaps in purgatory. Now, actually, some of the people I spoke to afterwards didn't think it was rather presumptuous of the priest to decide to speculate that Ian Paisley is currently in purgatory. But it was genuinely lost on me. I mean, that it was Paisley. I didn't realise it for several minutes. I mean, to hear Zwingli being mentioned, I mean, you know, I went to a Catholic school. They never mentioned the Protestant reformers. Like, once I came of age and began to study the modern world and what happened in Northern Europe, you know, which still influences the world today and changed the world, I began to read about Zwingli and people like that. But yes, it was a counter-reformation sermon, so, the like of which I never remember hearing.
To go back to where you came in, Paddy, you said there were about, what, 350
people?
Like a fairly full church.
Fairly full church, yeah.
And Latin from start to finish, obviously the sermon sounds
is
like
in
a
English,
delivered
yes,
in English.
And an appeal for the Vincent de Paul, reassuring people that this money is not going to... if people were worried by recent stories about where money collected would go, not to worry, it's going to the poor of the parish. That presumably is a reference to the Vincent de Paul paying a gay and lesbian group in Galway. So yes, in ways a trip back in time, but very, very interesting. But I was surprised at the... not just how... anti-ecumenical it was, but the references to Ian were rather derogatory. I mean, if I were to refer to Pope Benedict as Joseph, it would be considered highly offensive. And again, obviously, Ian Paisley's a dead man. I don't know if the Virgin Mary is now in union with him in purgatory or is sharing his suffering. But
well,
obviously,
suppose,
you can say what you like about a dead person. Yeah.
You were there, none of us, the rest of us weren't. I mean, maybe it was done with a certain regard or affection for sort of, you know, an old opponent of the
Perhaps
Catholic Church.
Perhaps it was,
who had
my old
fairly,
friend
fairly, fairly strong things to,
to say,
say
about
as,
it, yes.
Recalled,
so I was startled by
on Friday,
that,
Friday
yeah.
over the weekend. And so clearly, like, people have a strong attachment to that
yes.
more orthodox, some would say old-fashioned, yes, but timeless, and again, form of, people of liked celebration it. Of the Mass.
Yes, another man, again, the Newbridge man said to me, it's nice to see the Mass staying in the same shape, and that lady there saying about the Nicene Creed, she didn't like the word humankind. She liked that for man, meaning all of us. People are attached to these very traditional forms.
Paddy, thank you very much indeed for that report.